Chapter 1.
As I stared in horror at the blood-red moon, I couldn't help but think we'd royally fucked up. Sarah trembled beside me. Her bright yellow eyes were as round as saucers as she stared at the eerie sight, and tiny, childlike whimpers escaped from her full lips. I'd never seen the dark-winged Arkan display such vulnerability before, and the way the monster goddess quivered with fear sent shivers down my own spine. If Sarah was rendered this fearful, whatever we were about to face was worse than anything we'd ever dealt with before. My heart raced in my chest, and I tried to reach a comforting handout to the Arkan, but the dark-haired goddess shifted away from me before I could make contact. Her already pale white-blue skin lightened to an even more ghostly pallor, and her black feathered wings flattened against her back.
"What have we done?"
Sarah whispered. And then she repeated herself in an even softer voice as she shook her head in disbelief.
"What have we done?"
"We didn't do this," I assured her, but even I wasn't sure how much I believed my words. "There's no way this was our doing, right? This can't be just because I gave you a baby, can it?" Earlier this evening, I'd professed my love to the monster goddess, and after she revealed she shared similar feelings toward me, we'd made love over and over again until we were thoroughly spent. It was the kind of lovemaking reserved for creating a child, and I'd enjoyed every second of it. Just after we'd finally exhausted ourselves for the evening, Sarah had crossed over to the window and stood in the light of the moon. The moment had been incredibly special, at least until the moon began to darken to a deep shade of red. Seconds later, the entire sky had shifted to a rich scarlet, and our beautiful night turned into a hellscape.
"Of course we did this,"
Sarah whispered, and then she turned away from me, picked up her skimpy white bodysuit, and slipped into it with lightning speed. Her midnight black hair flared over her shoulders, and she rubbed her arms like she was trying to get warm.
"There's no explanation for the moon's change. This is our doing, Griff. We must have all understood the prophecy wrong."
"Sarah," I tried to plead with her, but the Arkan wasn't interested in soothing words, so I decided to follow in the goddess's footsteps and scrambled to find my trousers on the floor. This situation was too dire and too horrifying to handle without the added measure of being entirely bare. So once I located the pants and my shirt, I quickly dressed myself and then approached my bedroom window.
"It knows what we've done,"
she sighed.
"It knows where we are, and it's ready to kill us all. It wants to kill you and me, and our unborn child."
"What do you mean by that?" I pressed. "Sarah, do you know what that thing out there is?" Just as the entity had appeared on the moon, Sarah had gone into a hysterical fit and sobbed about how something was here to destroy us. I'd been so consumed by confusion, I hadn't pressed the subject, but now I wondered if the dark-winged Arkan knew something more than she was letting on.
I don't know exactly what it is,"
she admitted,
"but there's a feeling sweeping through me, a dread that fills my entire body like a strike of lightning. Somehow, I know whatever it is. It's powerful, and it wants us dead."
"So it's all just a hunch," I pressed.
"It's more than just a hunch,"
Sarah insisted.
"Griff, I can feel it with every inch of my being. Whatever that entity is, it's exceptionally powerful, and it intends to destroy every last one of us."
While the Arkan's words were a little suspicious, her tone was sincere, so I knew she wasn't lying. "Maker, what the fuck is it?" I muttered as I swept the curtains completely away from the window and stared at the moon. And how did it get there in the first place? The once pale silvery orb had not only changed colors, but was also riddled with long, ink-black tendrils that looked like tentacles.
I don't know,"
she admitted, and she shook her head back and forth slowly.
"I've existed for centuries, and I've never witnessed such a sight before. We've doomed the entire world."
"Sarah, we haven't doomed the world," I insisted. but the Arkan continued to shake her head in protest. The tentacles writhed, stretched, and twitched as we spoke, almost as if they were searching for something to latch onto. And even though the appendages had only just appeared minutes ago, it seemed like they'd grown closer. I could only imagine what the tentacles were attached to, but whatever it was, it wasn't good.
"You've got that right."
I suddenly heard Xanrith's voice ring out of my consciousness.
"Sarah was correct in her assessment. Whatever that thing is, it wants the world to succumb to its power."
"Are you saying you feel it as well?" I wondered.
"Yes," Utuni confirmed. "It's a horrific feeling of dread and terror I cannot explain."
"I don't like it,"
Mira Lee groaned.
"Not at all."
"Fuck," I sighed.
"Master, this is truly awful,"
Viopa chimed in.
"It's certainly awful,"
Karth agreed.
"What have you done, Sarah?"
Fi hissed. "This isn't her fault," I huffed.
"Does this mean you cannot make love to the rest of us?"
Utuni sighed.
"This creature has awoken because he just inseminated my sister,"
Fi huffed.
"And you're just waiting for your turn?"
"So you don't want his seed then?"
Utuni hissed.
"Fine. Master, I'll go before Fi. If we are to be destroyed by this horrible thing, I want to die with the feeling of your warm love inside of me."
"I didn't say I would skip my turn,"
Fi growled.
"I wish for our master too.
Stop it, all of you," I ordered. "Unless you have something helpful to contribute to the conversation, I'd prefer it if you just kept quiet while I try to sort this out." I waited for a moment for one of the Arkans to speak up, but that relief never came. So I tightened the wards against the goddesses to ensure they couldn't speak up until I asked them to.
"They're right,"
Sarah murmured.
"This is all my fault."
Before I could press Sarah for other explanations, my bedroom door loudly creaked open, and I turned around to see the alarmed faces of two of my lovers in the doorway.
"Griff, what's going on?"
Nia Kinnifik cried out as she crossed over to my side. Her piercing blue eyes flashed in alarm as she took in the sight of the moon, and I watched her face blanch until it was nearly as white as Sarah's.
"What's happening to the moon?"
"Sarah and I were trying to figure that out ourselves," I replied to the multi-elementalist, and I looked beyond her to see Arwen Hamner approach us with lengthy strides. The pair of beautiful mages were clad in the flimsy nightdresses they usually wore to bed, and it took everything in me to stay focused on the matter at hand. I wanted nothing more than to take my women back to bed with me and pretend everything was business as usual, but the red sky ruined any chance of that fantasy.
"There appears to be some sort of creature on the moon's surface,"
the crimson-haired healer mage assessed in a professional tone.
"Griff, did you witness what happened firsthand? I'd returned from the bedroom when I noticed the moon from the hall, and I immediately grabbed Nia and came straight here."
"We watched it happen," I nodded. "One second the moon was normal, and the next?"
"The moon bled red," Arwen finished for me. "This is both remarkable and awful at the same time. I've never heard or read of such an occurrence in all of my years of studies."
"What is Sarah doing here?"
Nia frowned at me. The multi-elementalist's bright blue eyes studied the Arkan with a scrutinous gaze, but the monster goddess was too focused on the moon to acknowledge my wife. "I summoned her earlier," I explained vaguely. It wasn't a huge secret I meant to keep from my lovers, but there were bigger matters at hand. Nia's eyes flew from Sarah back over to me, but I gave a slight movement that told the ashen-haired mage to drop it. Nia nodded in return, but her eyebrows were still raised high, so I knew we'd have to revisit the subject later.
"This is bad,"
Arwen mused as she shook her head.
"Truly a bizarre phenomenon."
"It's certainly not good," I agreed with the red-headed professor. "Especially if you aren't familiar with something like this. If anyone were to have answers, I assumed it would be you."
"I wish I did have some indication of what to do,"
Arwen sighed as she ran her hand through her thick hair.
"But I'm at a complete loss. This is nothing Mistral's ever seen before."
"It's all our fault,"
Sarah whispered beside me. The Arkan took small steps backward until she was back up against the bed, and then she sat on the edge and buried her face in her hands. Her hair fell like a dark curtain around her and concealed her lovely face.
Sarah, what do you mean by that?
Nia asked the dark-winged goddess, but she was interrupted by a loud commotion in the hallway. A clamor of footsteps rang out, and for a moment I was convinced a herd of buffalo had managed to descend down the spiral staircase. As it turns out, it was just the rest of my family.
Griffy, what the fuck is happening?
Layla demanded in a shaky voice as she flew into the room with impressive speed.
Why are the men in the sky red? And what's with those scary black tentacles? Are we under attack?
The petite mage's hazel eyes were so wide, I was afraid they were going to pop out of her skull. So I rushed over to her and wrapped her in my arms. Breathe, Layla, I urged my auburn-haired lover as she trembled. It wasn't often I saw the summoner mage this upset, and I hated how scared she was. One question at a time.
What's happening, Griffy?
She stammered. I swept her hair behind her ear and leaned down to kiss her forehead. Her skin was damp with sweat, which told me she'd woken in a panic. Breathe, baby, I insisted quietly as I cupped her cheek. The mage relaxed against me and dutifully took long, deep breaths. After a moment or two, some color returned to her cheeks, and she offered me a small smile.
Thanks,
Layla whispered, and she rose up on her tiptoes and planted a soft kiss on my cheek. Syra, Aaron, and Ashla crossed into the room soon after, and they all wore similar expressions of alarm as they breached the doorway.
Do you guys see the fucking tentacles coming off of the moon?
Syra demanded. The summoner's dark curls were in a sleepy state of disarray, and her familiar, a silver dragon named Kalon, was perched on her shoulder like a parrot. The monster let out the tiniest of growls as it stared at the reddened moon. Oh, we see them all right, I sighed.
Oh, okay, good,
my dark-skinned wife replied.
I'm just making sure it wasn't my imagination running away with me. Rest assured, this is no figment of your imagination,
Arwen groaned.
The tentacles are a very real problem we're trying to solve. Short of a really big harpoon gun, I don't see how we're going to be able to solve this one, Arwen,
Layla remarked.
How do we defeat a monster that lives on the moon? We don't even know it's a monster,
Arwen continued.
It's clearly some sort of entity, but beyond that, I'm not certain how to classify it. I don't understand any of this,
Ashla chimed in as she tugged at the hem of her dark green nightdress.
Griff, you've successfully captured all 9 of the Arkans, so what's this new thing on the moon? It looks positively horrifying,
Aaron muttered as she hugged her arms across her chest. She rubbed her hands up and down her bare arms, just as Sarah had, and her amber eyes didn't hold the same sparkle as usual. I retrieved a blanket from my bed and carefully wrapped it around the orange-haired mimic's freckle-dusted shoulders. My girlfriend accepted the covering and offered me a grateful smile. And when I stepped away, Aaron inclined her head and spread her arms out so the others could join her. Layla and Syra flanked her on either side, while Arwen, Nia, and Ashla remained in place. Before we dive into that, is everyone okay? I addressed the group. But when I did a quick head count, I realized a couple of family members weren't in attendance. And has anyone seen Freya and Vala?
Freya wanted to check on Lara before she came down,
Syra answered.
We stopped by the nursery first to make sure the children were safe, and then we came down here to find you. Freya wasn't ready to leave them alone just yet. Should we grab her anyway?
Aaron wondered.
I don't like that they're up there alone.
We can in a moment, I said. I actually feel better knowing that she's up there with them. Besides, between the two of them, they can handle anything that's thrown at them.
That's fair enough,
the orange-haired mimic allowed.
They're the very definition of warrior princesses. Not to change the subject, but could this have happened because you captured all of the Arkans?
Ashla wondered, and she tapped her finger against her full lips.
I don't really want to put that idea out there, but there's always been a lingering concern about what would happen once all the goddesses were captured. If that was the case, wouldn't the moon have changed when Griff officially claimed Huna and Keela?
Nia frowned.
We've deduced that they couldn't have reversed the enchantment since they've been captured. But could the act of capturing them have set this in motion? In his eyes, blood shall paint the streets in rust.
Sarah murmured from behind us, and we all turned to face the dark-winged Arkin.
What does that mean?
Layla frowned, and then she turned to face me and cocked an eyebrow in confusion.
It's a line from the Beastmaker prophecy,
Nia explained quietly as a realization crashed over her.
In his ears, all cries of mercy will fall to dust. In his eyes, blood shall paint the streets in rust. Holy fucking shit,
Layla whispered.
Oh, Griffy!
We don't know the accuracy of the prophecy,
Arwen reminded us in a stern and serious tone.
As far as we know, it could be all metaphorical.
My predecessor did not speak in metaphors,
Sarah hissed at the crimson-haired professor.
The Arkin's words were true. She wouldn't speak in riddles.
I refused to believe the words in the prophecy were meant to be taken 100% literally, I objected before the argument could get too heated. I might fit the bill of the Beastmaker, but I think I've fought against the forces of evil too many times to become some kind of benevolent harbinger of the apocalypse.
It's all my fault,
Sarah whispered as she hugged her arms around herself.
I knew the risks of taking the Beastmaker's seed within my womb, and yet I allowed it anyway. Now I've doomed us all to a rapturous fate. How could I have been so selfish to think I was able to bear a child of the Beastmaker? The Beastmaker's seed in your womb?
Nia asked. Her ashen eyebrows creased together in confusion, and her sapphire eyes darted between the dark-winged Arkin and me.
Griff, what is she talking about?
Griff, you didn't!
Syra gasped as she covered her mouth.
You made love to Sarah,
Arwen assessed.
I figured as much when we found the pair of you here together. But do you mean to say that you and Sarah made an attempt at procreation?
Yes, I confirmed. We did.
You had sex with Sarah?
Aaron blinked.
You gave her a baby? Oh, Maker.
Wow!
Ashla let out a low whistle.
That's quite the development, Griff. And definitely not what I was expecting to come out of this conversation. I figured you'd summoned Sarah after the moon changed. Am I the only one who thinks that wasn't a great idea?
Layla wondered as her hazel eyes flashed.
I'm all for more cute babies around here. But a baby with an Arkin? Don't you dare insult me, mortal!
Sarah hissed, and she clenched her fists at her sides.
It's one thing for me to regret the consequence of my actions, and another to suffer judgment from a mere mage.
That's enough.
I stepped in front of the dark-haired goddess before she could come after Layla, and then I addressed my wives and girlfriends. Look, I told Sarah I love her. I know that may seem hard to believe, considering our experiences in the past, but it's the truth. I'd finally accepted my feelings for her, and that's why I called her forth tonight.
You love her,
Nia repeated back to me. Her voice was a mixture of surprise and confusion, but I couldn't blame her for the reaction. This was news I'd wanted to tell them in time, but now it was an unavoidable part of the situation. I do, I simply nodded. We decided to celebrate by making love, and just before we were about to fall asleep, well...
The moon bled red.
Arwen finished for me. The professor's eyebrows knitted together, and I could practically see the gears of her brain whir in circles.
The Arkins mentioned the possibility of being able to walk in the moonlight after receiving your seed in their wombs. You mentioned Sarah was able to cross into the moonlight before it darkened?
Yes,
Sarah answered for me in a small voice.
After Griff gave me his seed, I was able to walk into the light without it affecting me. And then that part of the Beastmaker tale is true,
Arwen mused.
And if that portion of the lore is accurate, I hate to say this, but there's now a much stronger possibility the rest is true as well. Before we get too attached to that idea, let's consider all of the possibilities,
Ashla spoke up.
I know this is a terrifying situation, but we need to think everything through before we jump to a doomsday conclusion.
If I could have married the Ice Mage on the spot, I would have, right then and there. Instead, I flashed her a thankful smile.
Is there a chance Huna and Keela were successful in their plan after all?
Nia asked.
I don't know if that's plausible in the slightest, but it's the only other explanation I can think of.
While I wasn't convinced by the idea, I still saw the logic in Nia's hypothesis. The final pair of Arkans had once been a part of an alliance made up of them, Karth and Xanrath, and the monster goddesses had a nefarious plan to reverse the enchantment that kept the human realm in the Shadowscape in separate dimensions. My interference had rendered the plot useless, but as I stared out at the ruby-red sky, I couldn't help but wonder if it had really been as fruitless as I'd thought.
They weren't successful,
Sarah whispered.
Had they truly reversed the enchantment in the way that they'd intended, the magic would have already taken effect by now.
They have been locked away in your mind for a long time now,
Nia realized, and the ashen-haired mage tugged at her long braid in a nervous manner.
And besides, if that were the case, the talk before the battle outside of Nattinger wouldn't have made much sense, would it?
It wasn't a bad theory at all, I assured my multi-elementalist wife. But I think Sarah's correct. During our conversation in the forest with the Mistwolves, Huna and Keela made it apparent they needed the book in order to reverse the enchantment. But the book is still in our possession. Unless they were attempting some kind of psychological manipulation, I don't think they found a way to pull off the spell.
Well, does the book say anything about the moon turning red?
Syra addressed Arwen and Ashla. Of anyone, the pair of researchers would best be able to answer the question.
Not that we've deciphered,
Ashla sighed.
We've studied almost every page of the book, but our ciphers said nothing about the sky changing in the middle of the night like this. There's been no indication of this type of event before.
Arwen shook her head.
We're operating off pure speculation at this point. It's just great,
Layla groaned. I glanced back out the window to see if there had been any change since the last time I'd checked, but unfortunately, the sky was just as scarlet. This was a nightmare with no foreseeable end and no certain explanation. Was this punishment for capturing the Arkans, creating a baby with Sarah, or something else entirely?
No offense, Griff, but can we circle back to the part of this story where you decided you were going to make a baby with a monster goddess?
Aaron asked.
That's not something I think we can sweep under the rug, especially if it potentially relates to this whole thing.
Even before all of this, I'd made the Arkans a deal that if they could come to an agreement, I would give one of them my seed, I admitted to her. The deal was made long ago, and they weren't making progress on the subject, so I made the decision for them.
So you're going to have a baby with Sarah?
Nia confirmed with an elegantly raised eyebrow. Yes, I nodded at my wife. At some point, at least. I don't know if it took this round.
It took,
Sarah interrupted.
I feel your powerful seed taking shape in my womb.
Okay. I cleared my throat. But I'd really appreciate it if you would all respect my decision. I know Sarah hasn't always been on our side in the past, but she's really changed. If she hadn't guided me back to my body after I'd drifted in the dreamscape, I might have been lost forever, and we wouldn't have managed the victory we had against Huna and Keela. Sarah's important to me. And she's important to this war we've been fighting. My women fell silent after my mini-speech, and I watched as each of them absorbed my words. I knew asking them to trust the Dark-Winged Arkan after everything that had happened was a tall order, but my women knew relationships and alliances were ever-shifting, and I knew they trusted me more than anything. My family was incredibly loyal, and I hoped they would approve of the idea. Sarah liked to pretend she didn't care about the thoughts of mortals, but her lower lip twitched as she awaited the response of my other women. I was curious about it too, but I knew my women would come to the right conclusion.
If you trust her, so will we,
Nia finally replied in a thoughtful tone.
Besides, we're in too stressful of a situation to get hung up on past relationships. We need to look forward and figure out what in the Maker's name we're going to do about this and find a definitive reason why this happened in the first place. Is there anything we can actually do?
Syra wondered as she fidgeted with her hands.
It's not like we can just build a bridge and get to the moon from here.
I don't know what there is to do, I admitted. But first things first. Once everyone here is deemed okay, we need to get to Headmaster Sleet and discuss strategy. I'm sure the civilians in the Enclave are all in a state of terror.
Maker, the civilians,
Ashla breathed.
We need to get everyone to safety as soon as we can.
I don't know if we can evacuate everyone or not, but the people aren't safe outside of their homes, I assessed. I don't know if the moonlight is harmful or what it means in relation to anything else, but until we start finding out answers, we need to keep everyone inside.
That's a good idea,
Layla replied.
The headmaster will know what to do,
Arwen agreed with me.
He'll be able to get the word to Grand Mage Kinnifik, though I'm certain word has reached him already.
My father is quick to action, so I'm certain he's devising a plan as we speak,
Nia chimed in.
Until we find out what that plan is, speaking with Headmaster Sleet is our next best option.
Then I'd suggest we get dressed, check on Freya and the children, and then head out to the academy, I decided. We can sit here and speculate all we want, but we need to take action.
You're right.
Syra nodded.
All right, let go of me!
A voice suddenly called out. From the higher-pitched feminine tone and the usage of the language of the southern clans, I knew the voice belonged to my sister-in-law, but I'd never heard the hawk shapeshifter sound so upset before.
Vala, come back!
I heard my wife Freya call out after her. The older hawk princess's tone sounded frantic, so clearly there'd been a heated exchange between the sisters. Sure enough, Vala flew into the room, and Freya trailed not too far behind. My blonde wife's gold-flecked brown eyes were wide, and a sheen of sweat glistened on her forehead, likely from the sprint she'd executed. A robe hung off her shoulders and revealed a stretch of alabaster skin that was slightly flushed from the physical exertion. Freya, Vala, what's wrong? I asked in their native tongue, and the moment the words left my lips, I instantly regretted them.
What's wrong?
Vala repeated back to me.
What's wrong is the moon and sky have turned red, and a shadow beast squirms from atop the moon's surface. Monsters have invaded Mistral.
We don't know what the thing on the top of the moon is, I tried to assure the hawk shifter. But Vala's nostrils flared as her hands clenched into fists at her sides.
I want to go home right now,
the russet-haired hawk princess insisted.
I need you to take me back to Eerie Island, Griff.